May it please the court. My name is Doyle Baker. I'm a deputy district attorney from Colorado Springs. My bar registration number is 22277. I represent the people in this appeal. And Your Honor, if I could get a warning if I go to 12 minutes.
You want a warning at 12 minutes?
Yes, sir. Thank you. The statute that prescribes the
call. Pardon me, when you have 12 left or when you use 12?
Pardon me?
When you have 12 left or you've used 12?
I'm sorry, when I have 3 left, if I could
three
get a warning. Thank you. Statute that prescribes marijuana cultivation prohibits a person from knowingly allowing the cultivation of marijuana on land that this person owns, occupies, or controls.
Mr. Baker, I'm sorry to interrupt you. I know you're getting to the merits here, but could you, before you do that, address for me what is the question of law here that justifies this appeal?
Well, Your Honor, we believe that this appeal is like the cases we cited in our reply brief, People versus Jackson and People versus Schuper. We think we have a question of law here.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
If we view this as a review of the sufficiency of the evidence, is that a question of law that the rule and the statute would permit us to entertain in the people's appeal on?
If you review it as a question of the sufficiency of the
uh-huh.
evidence, well, I think that there's more to it than that, Judge Kopelke.
I know that you've couched it in terms of in effect, a creation of a new element by the trial court, a temporal element. But basically, the court's determination was simply that there wasn't adequate evidence. And if we were to look at it that way, and we think we're being asked to review the sufficiency, is it, in your view, a question of law then that we're permitted to consider on the people's appeal?
I think that the cases that we've relied on have framed it as a question of law if there's an element. If we're talking about sufficiency of the evidence, and that is the sole question, then I think we have a problem on our side. And that goes to the statute, which says that the prosecution may appeal questions of law. If it's purely a question of the sufficiency of the evidence, I think that indeed we do have a problem. However, I think that when you look at what the trial court said, she wanted essentially something additional to what we presented in terms of what would meet the legal elements of this case. And that's why we compare this case to Jackson, a case where the trial court said to prove attempted sexual assault, you have to have this additional evidence of attempted penetration. And this court, in reviewing that, said no, that's not part of what the legal elements for attempted sexual assault are.
But in Jackson, the court directly suggested or said that the trial court said it was thought that was an element that had to be proven. Here, and correct me, Mr. Baker, if I'm wrong, but I mean, the court clearly cited there was no evidence of when it was planted, et cetera, or when you moved in the house. But I don't see any indication in the record where the court indicated that was an element. The court certainly, you know, listed it as a factual, you know, piece of the puzzle along with a whole bunch of other facts. And so I guess I'm concerned that, or I see this case as possibly distinguishable from Jackson and Schuper for that reason, because in the Jackson and Schuper, we're directly talking about a misunderstanding of an element of the offense. Is there anything in the record here besides, you know, the court just saying, and I don't know when he moved there, et cetera, that this was an element, that the court thought this was an element?
Well, the court did not use the word element. That's true. And if that's required, well, then I guess we have a problem. But really what the court said, when you look at the context of the court's comments, was, I need more from you, prosecution. Yes, there's evidence that there was marijuana on this land. Yes, there's evidence the defendant knew about it. But that's not enough, I guess, to prove those elements.
Is it enough in your view that there was marijuana on his land and he knew about it, that he had an affirmative duty to destroy it? Is that your view?
Is that our view? Is that sufficient to meet
the... I'm just asking you, is it your view that the fact that he owned the land or rented it, had right to occupy, and knew there was marijuana plants on the land, is that sufficient to convict under this statute?
No, I think you need evidence of cultivation as well.
And that he did it.
Or that he allowed it to be done, which was the argument that the prosecutor made to the trial court. I think that it's pretty clear from the prosecutor's arguments that by the time we got to the argument on the motion for judgment of acquittal, that the prosecution was arguing guilt under a theory that the defendant knew that this marijuana was being cultivated and he allowed it to happen. He did not take steps to eradicate it, which under the statute is commission of cultivation of marijuana. It's an alternative.
So he didn't have it. You don't believe he had an obligation to cut it down and destroy it?
We do believe he did. If he allowed it to be there and knew that it was there and took no steps, then indeed he did have an obligation.
So he had an affirmative duty to prevent somebody else from growing marijuana on his land. Is that true?
If he knew it was there and he knew it was being cultivated, he had...
What's the evidence that he knew it was cultivated?
The evidence that he knew it was cultivated, he said he knew it was there, and we have evidence that it was cultivated.
Now, that's not my question. My question is, how did he know, and how did you prove he cultivated it, that it was cultivated?
Well, what we knew, Your Honor, was that there was evidence, if you looked at this marijuana patch, that it was being cultivated. Okay, so the defendant said he knew it was there. Now, you have to draw an inference, but at this stage, we would expect the jury to draw those inferences, and the test at this stage is you infer in the light most favorable to the prosecution what the evidence shows. We have a cage around this marijuana. Clearly, if you're cultivating marijuana, you would put this cage around it from the moment that it's coming up to protect it. It would make no sense for someone to start cultivating the marijuana, let it grow for a while, and then take these protective measures. If we ask a jury, like we typically do, to rely on its experience, a jury is going to understand that if you're cultivating marijuana and you're protecting these plants, that you would protect them from the moment that they're sprouting. So, if the defendant admits that he knows the marijuana is there and it's being cultivated, we think
he didn't admit it was cultivated.
There was evidence that it was cultivated. He did not say anything other than that he knew it was there. But we believe that putting two and two together and drawing reasonable inferences, the evidence supports the fact that he not only knew it was there, but that he knew it was being cultivated.
Well, if I'm understanding you, I mean, there was also this black sheet behind it to keep the heat in, and et cetera. I think the evidence you're telling us existed was he admitted, and when the officers called him, he knew why they were there. Yeah, I know. I've been meaning to cut it down. So we know he at least saw this, and you're saying the inference is he saw it, marijuana with the cage and the black sheets and whatever else, that it wasn't just growing wild. That was enough to get an inference that he was allowing it to be cultivated. That's your position?
That is our position, Judge.
Okay.
And the fact is, we seldom have these cases neatly packaged where we would get a defendant to say XYZ. But we do have evidence that if a jury would put two and two together, they can see that in this case, he knew that it was being cultivated.
Now, here, when the trial court granted the motion for judgment, didn't the judge, one of the judge's principal concerns was, I don't see any evidence that he knew it was cultivated by somebody else?
Well, there was talk about that, and I think the prosecutor pointed out to the judge exactly what I pointed out, which was there is evidence of cultivation here, and certainly if the defendant knows it's there and these plants are being nurtured and they've been nurtured from a very young age, that he would know that they were not just growing wild.
Sure, but if the judge disagreed with that, you know, the prosecutor's argument here, that, you know, the judge says, I find, or I don't believe there's any evidence that the defendant knew it was cultivated, isn't that grounds for judgment as acquittal, forgetting all about the timeliness, you know, the time issue here? And don't we have a pretty good record that the court ruled on basis of sufficiency and not an extra element of the offense? That was a long-winded question, and I'm sorry. Did it make sense to you?
No, I think I understand. I guess the answer we have, the short answer is no. The question is, and the judge certainly expressed a lot of, I mean, it's clear from reading the record the judge was troubled by the prosecution's case. She was trying to poke holes in a lot of things. We had a lengthy discussion about, we don't even know if this is the defendant's property. And the prosecutor pointed out facts that established that it was the prosecution's property, or the defendant's property, rather, and in fact that he lived there. And finally, I think what the judge hung her hat on, although she talked about a lot of things, was this temporal element. I can't tell how long the defendants lived there. I can't tell how long this marijuana has been growing. Those are things that certainly could be circumstantial evidence of knowledge. But in a case where you have a defendant who admits he knows the marijuana is there, really what the judge is requiring of us is something additional that is not an essential element of the offense that was charged. And that's the problem that we have with the judge's ruling. And it raises a number of questions for us in the future. Do we need to present evidence in a case like this, thank you, Your Honor, of somebody seeing this marijuana planted and someone who can testify about when it went in the ground? If we don't have that evidence, do we need to bring in an expert who can testify based on the development of these plants and their size and give us an expert opinion about when they approximately were planted? Do we need, when we're considering who owns or occupies this property, to find evidence that we have to produce showing when the defendant may have purchased the property or signed a lease or moved in? It presents...
In addition to all of our other duties, we have to instruct the prosecution on how to prove a case?
Well, I would hope we don't, Your Honor. I think that the problem we have with this is it raises so many wrinkles that, frankly, we just don't think are elements of the offense, which, and although the judge did not use the magic word elements, made it pretty clear that, look, what you need, prosecution, is to prove your case, evidence of these things. Now, we didn't have any evidence of that, and I think the question is, was she talking about the context of a sufficiency of the evidence question, or were we really looking at additional elements to this offense that she was imposing on us? We believe it was the latter. And if there are no further questions, I'll reserve the remainder of my time. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Your Honors. My name is Nathaniel Deakins. On behalf of Mr. Adams, my registration number is 38752. I suppose in thinking about this case, what jumps out at me is the relatively short period of investigation, and I will get to the judge's ruling, but just the amount of time that the police spent on it, while that might have given rise to an inference of probable cause, it doesn't give rise to an inference of reasonable doubt, and that's, I think, why the judge granted this motion for judgment of acquittal. Now, I can address your first question, Judge Gabriel, of whether the judge considered the time factor as an element, or I could proceed to the merits, whether just considering evidence. But Again, I don't think that the judge considered that factor as an element. I think it's clear that she considered a wide range of factors, and the district attorney hasn't suggested that those factors are elements. I don't think she treated those factors any differently than other considerations. I think she was merely pointing out to the district attorney below why the case was weak, and maybe what evidence, what type of investigation, what type of testimony might have made the case stronger.
Weak cases go to the jury all the time.
That's
okay. The question is whether it's legally deficient, isn't it? You have no evidence of this element, or you have no evidence of that element. Mm-hmm. Isn't that the test? Looking at the evidence most favorable.
The test is whether there's substantial and sufficient evidence to convince a reasonable person whether the defendant is guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. And it's not whether the prosecution has presented some evidence. It's substantial and sufficient evidence, Your Honor. And I think what it comes down to is that the prosecution did present evidence that he knew, there's an inference at least, that he knew there was marijuana growing in his yard. And I think that...
Well, he actually said, did he not, that he knew it was there and he'd been meaning to get rid of it.
I have a quote from the officer who testified at trial who said, Mr. Adams said something to the effect of, yeah, I had been throwing some things out and I knew those were growing there and I had been meaning to cut them down. I'm not sure, there's no reference of marijuana. So yes, there's an inference that he knew marijuana was growing in his yard. And I wouldn't deny that. The question is whether you can make the next leap or the next inference to say that he knowingly allowed someone, and I think the prosecution's theory below was that he knowingly allowed someone to cultivate or grow marijuana on his land. Whether he knowingly allowed someone to cultivate marijuana on his land. And I think from his statement alone, I don't think you can get there.
I guess I don't understand why not. If the knowingly piece, he knows it's there and he doesn't do anything about it for some period of time that I don't know is particularly clear from the record. So we have knowledge that marijuana is growing, at least. He knows that and he doesn't do anything about it. I think there's some evidence of cultivation here. It's covered by a cage. There's, you know, black all over it, clearly placed by somebody, you know, to at least keep the heat in, I assume, helping marijuana plants grow. Seems to me he sees that. So there's some evidence that he, you know, someone could see it's being cultivated as opposed to growing naturally, and he doesn't do anything. Why isn't that enough to go to a jury on knowingly allowing someone to cultivate?
Well, again, I think it comes back to the deficient investigation in this case and the presentation of evidence, and that the prosecution didn't present evidence that Mr. Adams knew what cultivation was. They didn't present evidence that he knew what these gardening techniques were about. I think those are the types of things. I keep pointing to evidence that they didn't show as opposed to what they did show, but I think it informs the decision of whether there was sufficient and substantial evidence.
So the prosecution would have had to put on, as Mr. Baker said, an expert to say what cultivation is, as opposed to, I guess, a jury instruction defining it?
I'm not sure that that's necessarily required, I couldn't say, but something more than the defendant saying, yeah, I meant to cut it down. I think what the district court judge was getting at was the mens rea element, some form of scienter, if you will, of a culpable state of mind that we're not just focusing on knowingly, but knowingly allowed to be cultivated. So it's some sort of volition or some form of culpability, some form of encouragement, I think is what the district court was getting at.
Let me give you a hypothetical then. There's a vegetable garden, let's take marijuana out of it. There's a vegetable garden in my backyard. And there's tomatoes growing and strawberries growing. I have nothing to do with this, but I know it's there. Isn't just the fact that I know there's a vegetable garden with tomato plants and strawberries enough to suggest that I know someone is cultivating strawberries and tomatoes?
I think that's an analogous situation. No.
I don't need to call a farmer or expert to say cultivation is growing tomatoes, and I guess I'm I appreciate your candor in saying it's analogous. I guess I don't see why it's any different. I mean, I would understand your argument better if hypothetically there are marijuana plants growing naturally. They're just in the ground. There's no indication any human being touched them, that they're just there. Here we have a cage. We've got human-placed elements. Why isn't that enough evidence that this man knowingly allowed someone else to cultivate marijuana?
Your Honor, again, I think it comes down to this scienter that's in the statute. It's not an additional element. It's, it's a link between that and his statements, because I think the evidence that the prosecution presented was the police officer's testimony, Mr. Adams' statements through the police officer's testimony, and the physical evidence. Really, the police officer's testimony is that, yes, it was being cultivated, and in my experience, you know, this is consistent. But what their prosecution was trying to do below was make too much of an inferential leap from Mr. Adams' statements, and I think that those are the crux of this case. And I've been meaning to cut them down. You know, again, I think the district court hit it on the head when she said that's sufficient for marijuana possession, perhaps, but not for an awareness that it's being cultivated.
Is that the scienter? And I'm sorry, I'm monopolizing your time. I'll shut up. But you referred a couple of times to the scienter requirement. We're talking about the knowingly allowing someone to cultivate, right?
Correct, yes.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure we're on the same page.
Is there any evidence in record that he ever observed anybody tending to these plants or knew who the person who was raising the plants, if there was such a person, who that was?
No, Your Honor.
Well, so all we have is that at some point somebody had perhaps planted some seeds on that ground. We don't know if Mr. Adams lived there. We don't know how long he's lived there, and that's part of the judge's concern. But somebody put something there that may be illegal.
I think
he's never seen that person. He's never seen anybody do it. He's not involved in it. There's no evidence he's involved in it. Is that sufficient to convict?
I don't think so, Your Honor. I think that not under this statute, maybe perhaps under marijuana possession or some other statute, perhaps, but I don't think so. And I think those are questions that the district court had as well. I really don't have much.
Could you take a moment to discuss the right of the people to appeal in this particular case?
I think that the people have a right to, under, I'm not sure of the statute, but to appeal questions of law in a criminal case. I've struggled with how to characterize this because the cases cited by the people, Schuper and Jackson, certainly are distinguishable, I think, as Judge Gabriel said, that the judge thought there was an additional element. I think the people mistakenly try to pigeonhole this analogize this case to those cases. Whether the sufficiency of the evidence is a question of law, putting that aside, whether the sufficiency of the evidence is a question of law, I think that the cases that I cited in my brief, while they're pre-1988 or whatever the amendment to the appellate rule was, I don't think that necessarily changes the statute 1612. I apologize. The statute allowing the people to appeal. I don't think that necessarily.
102.
Right. Thank you. Apologize. I think those cases still carry forceful effect, or the reasoning is still valid. In Jackson, a division held that the court had to issue an opinion because the people had alleged a question of law. But again, I think this case is distinguishable from Jackson. So, you know, I usually at that table, at the appellant's table, and I know that when we raise NJOA issues, it's characterized as a question of law. So I don't know that, I haven't seen a case yet. The district attorney hasn't cited a case that I think is analogous to this case in that it's merely a question or a challenge to the sufficiency of the evidence by the people. I haven't come across one.
Do you agree that there is a distinction? I mean, these all kind of come up as motions for judgment of acquittal. I guess even the older cases you cited, Lyle Martinez, a couple of them. Do you agree that there's a distinction between a case where it's the trial judge erred with respect to an element versus just weighing the evidence?
Yes.
And so here, if I'm understanding, you obviously are arguing this was just weighing the evidence and this court shouldn't engage in that, and it's not an element. The court was not adding an element. That's
yes.
Your position. And if
yes.
It was adding an element, I take it you would agree that the prosecution would have a right to come up here and ask us to review that.
I think so, yes. If the court below applies the wrong legal standard, I think that's a question of law.
Okay. Thanks.
I just
asked
this.
What is our standard of review? Is it a abuse of discretion, or is it what?
I cited a case in my brief. It was slightly different. It was in the context of a preliminary hearing, and the Court of Appeals, or the Supreme Court, I can't remember which level, stated that because the court below had applied the correct legal standard, the standard of review on appeal was abuse of discretion. So I would submit that that is the proper standard of review here. But if not, this is a different context, and I would accept the de novo standard of review, assuming that the reasoning of that case doesn't apply. But again, I think the judge's ruling below should still be affirmed under the de novo standard. I just ask this court to affirm that ruling.
Thank you, counsel.
Three
more minutes.
A minute and 22 seconds.
Mr. Barker.
Baker.
I will call him Barker since he was working for the court.
Your Honors, we presented evidence that there was marijuana growing on land occupied by the defendant. We presented evidence that it was cultivated. We presented evidence that the defendant knew this. And that evidence is all independent of our failure to present any evidence about how long the defendant had lived there and how long the marijuana had been growing.
But doesn't he knowingly have to do something?
Does the defendant have to do something?
Doesn't the defendant knowingly have to do something?
He has to know the marijuana is growing, and he has to allow it to continue.
So he can be completely passive in this.
Under our theory, yes.
Under your view of the matter.
And what the trial court looked at in granting the motion was the evidence we didn't present, which didn't go to any of the elements of the crime. And there was evidence on each and every of the elements that we did present, which the judge didn't focus on. She required something additional of us, additional elements. And that's why we believe that as a matter of law, she made a mistake.
Wasn't the timeliness issue, I'm sorry to beat the dead horse here, but couldn't one at least argue that these timeliness issues, the temporal issues, went to the defendant's knowledge that someone else was cultivating? In other words, it's just a piece of evidence that goes to that element?
Yes, I think so. I think that time could provide circumstantial evidence of knowledge. But again, when you have a defendant conceding in his opening statement that he knew it was there, and when you have him telling the police that he knew it was there, you don't really need that evidence. And we have statements from his own mouth. Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, counsel. I'm sorry I almost took away your rebuttal time. We thank both counsel for their arguments. The case will be deemed submitted. A written opinion will issue in due course. The court will stand in recess subject to call, and the bailiff may so announce.